The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18, and this is what it says. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands and abides forever. May he bless the reading of his word and the preaching of it to you this morning. In Luke chapter 8, we meet with a sample of the parabolic teaching of Jesus. Verse 4 says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable." He taught them in a parable. So, what is a parable? The word parable in Greek is a compound word made up of two words combined together. The word para plus the word balein. The first part of that word, para, means alongside. The second part of the word, balein, means to throw. The word parable literally means to throw something alongside of something else. In other words, you have a truth you want to illustrate, so you throw alongside it some comparison, some description that people understand, that amplifies and illustrates what you are trying to teach. A parable is an illustration or a comparison. A parable takes something tangible to illustrate something that is intangible. A parable uses something that is concrete to explain something that is abstract. A parable explains a spiritual truth by making a comparison between the spiritual and something in nature. In Luke chapter 8, there's a parable that makes use of the imagery of seed. It is the parable of the soils. It has been called the parable of the sower, but it is really the parable of the soils. Today, I want to examine the message of the parable, the motive of parables, and the meaning of this parable of the soils. The message of the parable is the kingdom of God. After Jesus told the parable of the soils, verse 9 says, "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" So the theme of the parable is the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of God? The English word kingdom is a combination of two words, king and domain, or dominion. A kingdom is that area over which a king has dominion. The idea behind this matter of kingdom of God is rulership. In a broad sense, the whole universe is the kingdom of God because He is sovereign over everything. He is the Most High ruler over all things. But within the realm of God's sovereignty, there exists a rival kingdom. There is a kingdom of darkness that is opposed to the kingdom of light. There is a kingdom of evil that is against the kingdom of righteousness. There is a kingdom of Satan against the kingdom of God. So there are two kingdoms in a narrower sense in which the term kingdom of God is used. The kingdom of God is distinguished from the kingdom of Satan. Each kingdom is a community of creatures distinguished by what they love and how they live. One community loves God and lives for God. The other community hates God and lives in opposition to God, in rebellion against God. You can see those two kingdoms right here in Water Valley, Mississippi. There is a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of man in rebellion against God, which is the kingdom of Satan. The two kingdoms originated with the angels, extended to mankind, and are intermingled in this world. The coexistence of the two kingdoms will come to an end at the final judgment when they are separated. The kingdom of God will go to enjoy eternal blessedness with God, and the other kingdom will go to suffer judgment, the judgment of eternal damnation. You can call the other kingdom the kingdom of man, or the kingdom of this world, or the kingdom of Satan. It's all the same thing. The kingdom of God is used in a still narrower sense. In the parables of Jesus, the kingdom of God is concerned with the whole mission of Jesus, with His coming, His leaving, His building His church, and His coming again. The motive of the parabolic teaching of Jesus is to make known the mystery of the kingdom of God. That Jesus' motive was to make known the mystery of the kingdom of God has been questioned because of something that is written in the text that Jesus said. If Jesus' motive was to make known the mystery of the kingdom of God, then why does Luke 8, verse 9 and 10 say, "And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' For others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Sounds like Jesus is trying to conceal something, doesn't it? But then verse 16 and 17 says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Take care then how you hear. What that means is that Jesus came to disclose the message of the kingdom of God. Then how do you understand verse 10? Verse 10 is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And it describes the result of people continually hearing the Word of God and turning a deaf ear to it. When people continually harden their hearts to God, eventually He withdraws His grace from them. That is an act of judgment. So Jesus' motive was to make clear the message of the kingdom of God, but a careless or superficial hearing of it will miss the point. We must hear the Word of God with attentive, submissive, obedient hearts. The message is useless to you if you do not have an attentive, submissive, and obedient heart. Now, what does the parable of the soils mean? The parable of the soils goes like this. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Him, He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As He said these things, He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus explained the parable of the soils in verse 11 through 15. The sower is whoever proclaims the gospel. The preacher of the gospel is a sower. The person who proclaims the gospel in evangelism is a sower. The seed is the Word of God. The soils are the individuals who hear the Word of God. The point of the parable of the soils is that the message of the kingdom of God, or the message of the gospel in particular, meets with a diversity of response. The sower, whoever that is, proclaims the Word of God everywhere he goes. The Word of God, as it is scattered by the sower, is received differently among the multitudes of the peoples. How the message of the Word of God, particularly the gospel, is received depends upon the condition of the hearts of the ones who hear it. There are four types of soil in the parable, and each type of soil represents a different kind of heart, which determines the response to the Word of God. The hard path represents one kind of heart. The stony ground represents another kind of heart. The thorny ground represents another kind of heart. And the good soil represents another kind of heart. Jesus told us this parable so that we would know what kind of response to expect when we preach the Word of God. It explains why the great message of the gospel, when it is preached, does not convert everyone who hears it. So why does not the good news of the gospel convert everyone who hears it when it is preached? First of all, because some people hear the Word of God with a callous heart. The fields in Palestine were probably not fenced off, and in all likelihood, the main road into town went right through the middle of some of these fields. That road would have been a dirt road, but it would have been as hard as concrete from the steady flow of traffic upon it. Jesus and His disciples probably walked through some of those fields as they traveled from village to village. Jesus said the Word of God is going to fall on some hearts that are as hard as the hard, packed down soil of a field road. Those hearts are so hard that the Word of God cannot penetrate them. Preaching the Word of God to those people is like sowing seed on concrete. We should expect to meet hard-hearted people and we should expect them to reject the Word of God. The second reason the gospel doesn't convert everyone who hears it is because some people hear with a superficial, impulsive heart. The second type of soil is called rocky ground. This is not ground with big rocks sticking up all over the place. This is ground where there's a thin layer of soil on top of a layer of limestone rock. There's enough dirt there for seed to sprout up and grow for a short time, but the soil is so shallow that the plant cannot put down deep roots. The roots go down to the rock and no further. So there is a short period of immediate growth, but nothing to sustain long-term growth. Jesus said, there are people with hearts like that where the Word cannot get deeply rooted and grounded and produce a solid, substantial Christian life. They hear the Word. Immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, they immediately fall away. We should expect to meet shallow-hearted people, and we should expect them to endure for a short time and then fall away. They might express happiness for a short time because there is happiness there, but then after a short time they'll fall away. The third reason why the gospel does not convert everyone who hears the message is because some people hear the Word of God with a worldly heart. The third type of soil described by Jesus is thorny ground. People with this type of heart hear the Word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the Word, and it proves unfruitful. These are people who are preoccupied with the things of this world. There were plenty of those people who were attracted to Jesus. At the beginning of this chapter, there's a very large crowd gathered around Him. What happened to them? Where were they at the crucifixion? The huge crowds that initially were attracted to Jesus faded. And at the end, there were only the 12 disciples and a few women and a few others. What about those early multitudes? John MacArthur calls them thrill seekers. They were excited about the miracles, but they didn't like the message. And when things got difficult, they fell away. They were drawn away by the cares of the world and riches and other desires. We should expect to meet these kinds of people. And we should expect the Word of God to get choked out of their preoccupations with this world, the things of this world, the things that are going to pass away. What about these people who are lured away by the cares of the world, by the deceitfulness of riches, by the passing pleasures of this world? Many of them have been deceived into thinking that they have assurance of salvation, that they can believe in Christ for salvation and then live in a way that is contrary to the teaching of Christ. That is very wrong. And the modern evangelical church has made the mistake of giving people assurance of salvation simply on a mere profession of faith in Christ. The problem with that is that walking down an aisle in a service, or joining a church, or making a profession of faith in Christ is not necessarily an indication of true faith in Christ. You see, faith in Christ is not true faith unless it is evidenced by a transformed life. The evidence of what people truly believe is always manifested in how they live. If someone says they believe in Christ and then live in a way that is contrary to Christ, then they don't really believe in Christ. It's as simple as that. And these people who fall away never were genuine believers to begin with. Oh, they may have made a profession and they may have been around for a while, but a lack of endurance indicates that they were never genuine believers to begin with. What did the Apostle John say in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19? He said, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Endurance in following Jesus Christ is one of the indicators of true faith in Jesus Christ. The fourth reason why the gospel doesn't convert everyone who hears the message is because people do not hear with a receptive heart. The last type of soil described by Jesus is good soil. The good soil produces grain growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. These are the people who hear the Word of God and love it and embrace it. And it penetrates deeply into their hearts and it produces the fruit of godliness. These people humble themselves at the preaching of the Word of God. They're broken and contrite in heart. They desire heaven, of course. They desire true happiness. But more than that, they are sick of being separated and alienated from God. They are unsatisfied and unfulfilled by the things this world offers. They desire to be delivered from the dominating power of sin. They want a life of righteousness and holiness. They want the smile of God upon their lives. They want something that satisfies the deep longing of their souls for God. That's the good soil. Many years ago, I preached at a little village church in Bassett, Arkansas, a town with a population of 199 people. There was a farmer in that church who, along with his brother and sons, farmed a couple of thousand acres. If you head north on Interstate 55 towards Blytheville, when you come to the Bassett exit, you will see the Phelps farm on both sides of the interstate. There was a piece of ground on that Phelps farm that consistently produced the highest yielding crops in Mississippi County, Arkansas. One day, I asked Donald Phelps and his son why that piece of ground was so good. And you know what? They didn't know. They used the same tractors. They used the same seed. They used the same fertilizer. Same everything on that field as they did on all of their other fields. But that one field always yielded the most. All I can say is that it was a sovereign act of God that made that soil better. It's the same way with human hearts. It takes a sovereign act of God to make a human heart good soil. Since that is true, it seems to me that we should be sowing the seed of the Word of God, but we ought to be begging God to prepare some good soil for the seed to fall upon. We ought to be praying that God, the Holy Spirit, would be working in people's hearts, preparing them, making them good hearts. Good soil. This parable explains to us what to expect when the Word of God is preached. When the Word of God is preached, it will predominantly be rejected. Three out of four of these soils rejected the Word of God. It is not necessarily a problem with the sower, and it is certainly not a problem with the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The problem is in the hearts of the hearers. I pray that God will give us more hearts that are receptive to His Word. And if you are a person with a callous heart, or a superficial heart, or a worldly heart, then you should be praying for God to work in your heart by the Holy Spirit to do whatever it takes to create in you a receptive heart. Let's pray.